Are we live? Yeah.
I think we might be live.
Yeah, I can't find it on my phone yet. But it says on your thing, meeting is now streaming live on Facebook.
So we're probably being watched as we speak. Well, good evening. Welcome to Shift Church. I might be talking to us three, but I think we're live in our different houses.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Shift Church.
I can hear myself talking. That was a bit strange. So I've had to turn it off on my computer. So maybe if I turn it off there, hopefully it'll still be working. Yes, we're still live on Facebook. Good. I clicked off, but it's still working. That would have been bad if it had gone off. So my name's David. I am one of the team. I'm the curate at All Saints in Wellington. I've been off for a few months. If you're sitting there thinking, who on earth is that? That's a good question to ask. I've been off on adoption leave for 6 months. I've come back a few weeks ago. And it's my pleasure to be here tonight with Liz and Sean, who are old hands at Shift Church. If I'm honest, I don't really know what I'm doing tonight. So if it all goes awfully wrong and we fall out of the Wi-Fi or off Facebook, I'm really sorry, but I think we're there. Have we got anyone saying hello, Liz? Or is
yes, we have. We've got Tim, as in Tim Carter, and Tabby Carter.
Talk again.
We've got Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Yes, hi, Tim, and Tabby as well.
Hi, Tabby.
And we've got Charlotte as well. She says hello.
Oh, brilliant. That's great, because I can't find it on my phone for some reason. It's not coming up on my phone. I have no idea why, but I wanted to share it to you, Charlotte, so I'm glad you found us.
Yeah, brilliant. We've got quite a few people, actually. We've got Paul Thompson is watching. Hi, Paul. We've got Ali Graham says, hi, everyone.
Hi, Ali.
And hi from Sue Farnham.
Hi, Sue. Barry might be with you, but he might be
out. Yes, he is.
I found it.
Excellent.
Well, good evening. I'm glad you found us. Why not share this post? This is kind of part of the Do You Know Him initiative over the whole of Telford, as we're looking at spreading the good news of Jesus. An easy way to do that right now, if you're watching at home live, is to click that share button and share it to your timeline. Be brave. Invite some friends to join in tonight. If you're watching live, hello, do join in the comment stream. We'll be asking some questions and chatting, and we'd love you to throw in your thoughts and your comments and your prayers. That would be brilliant. This isn't just a conversation between us three. This is a conversation between you guys as well. And if you're catching up later, maybe, I don't know, you're washing the car or walking the dog or doing something like that, and you're listening to us on a podcast, or you're tuning in later on live, not live, you are also equally welcome. We'd love to know your thoughts. You can't join in live, but why not drop us an email? My name's David. My email is david@allsaints-wellington.org. Tell me what you think. That would be cool. Liz and Sean, do you want to introduce yourself? Liz, do you want to go first? Oh, I don't know if... Yes, you are there. Good.
I do. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Liz. Most of you know me, but I'm Liz. It's great to be here with you tonight. Just seen Tabby. Hi, Tabby. And Sid. I want to say hello to you, Sid. It's great to see you. Hi to Steve and to Jan as well. We've got quite a few people on tonight. Mm. It's really great. Yeah,
really good.
My phone is giving subtitles. Is anyone else's phone?
Yeah. You've generated subtitles tonight.
Yes. That's good, actually. We got, you know, people have got hearing issues, you know. It's exactly.
Yeah, you get some interesting ones though, don't you, when you
And it is coming up Sean's handsome face.
It's all right, I don't mind.
There we go. Sorry about that, Sean. I don't know what I did there. Oh, Kimberly's tuning in, that's my wife.
Excellent.
The children have been a bit hard work tonight. Not hard work, but bedtime didn't go as smoothly as it always did. So she's currently, I think, doing two at once, which is very clever. She is the one that works hardest in this household. So round of applause for her.
Yes.
So tonight we are looking at Jesus the King. kind of coming on from Ascension Sunday, and we'll be hearing some thoughts from Tim later on. But to get us warmed up a bit, I've got a bit of a quiz about some kings. And to begin with, we are going to act out or do an impression of a famous king. And you guys in the comment stream, you can guess the idea this was, you guys in the comment stream have got to try and guess who it is. Liz cannot wait to do this, and she's going to go first. So Liz, over to you.
Okay. Raw.
That was so enthusiastic.
That's it. That's my impression.
I'm going to do it again. Okay. People missed it because it wasn't very long.
Raw.
So can any of you guess what kind of king that was?
He's my favourite fictional king. And he is very cool.
Who's going to be the first in the comments?
I'm not going to sing a song. I'm not going to break into Circle of Life.
Oh, that's a good clue. That's a clue.
We still haven't had anybody comment yet.
Guess who won? It's not a pick. Kimberly.
Typical, isn't it?
Tabby
had a good guess.
To be fair, this lion is actually called Aslan and it's her lion.
Kimberly, maybe joint first.
Yeah, no, actually, Ali said Lion King as well, so I think you've got it. Yeah.
It's Mufasa, Simba's dad.
Yeah. Yes, there you go.
He's a good king. He's like a fair king. He's just. And
also, actually, maybe I was very quick to judge because Tabby has named Mufasa. You know what? Yeah. This is good. Sean, do you want to go for yours?
Right, well, I'm wearing this lovely robe, and this king, he was a legendary English king. Not sure he actually existed, but a clue is that he defended us from the Saxons. And he liked to wear robes like this.
King Arthur?
Defended us from the Saxons, liked to wear robes.
I think you've had the answer there.
Okay, let's see what people say on the stream because they probably missed what I said. So.
Oh, yes. I didn't hear you.
good.
Everyone's guessing.
No one's. I haven't had any comments yet.
We're waiting.
Prepare my.
No, not yet. They're thinking about it.
We could give some clues.
I do mine.
Want me to give some more clues?
Yeah.
I'll give you another clue. Yes, there you go. Ali said it. There you go. King Arthur.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, David's got something interesting.
Right. I'm going to sing a song. I'm really sorry. but I don't know it very well, so it might go awfully bad. I really don't know it bad very well. Oceans rise. Oceans fall, do 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 do. That will be fun. Da 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 da. It's really hard to sing.
I can say that Tabby and Sid will get that one straight away.
With my bad singing, yes. Well done, Tabby. Yeah. That is my favourite song in the whole of...
It is so cool. Hamilton. So Dave is talking about the musical Hamilton, where he's got like the Mad King George, and he's just amazing. He's just awesome. It's just brilliant.
He's ridiculously camp and an amazing singer. And
I love the song. Wow. I love all the songs in Hamilton.
Yes, yeah. It is good. Okay, shall we move on? We're going to have a video to introduce... tonight, it's a video that we might have seen before. It's a video that kicked off the whole of the campaign of Do You Know Him? But actually, it begins by reminding us of who Jesus is as the King. So I'll get it ready. And if we turn our cameras off, I think, for this guy, that would be really useful. Or at least mute ourselves.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Well, that's a famous video. It's well known. We might know it really well. We've watched it a few times before. There's something in there that always manages to speak to me. So yeah. Hopefully that there's something in there that spoke to you. Just the way that he defines who Jesus is was amazing. We could talk about that all night, but we're not going to. But that was a really good introduction to who the king is. And now I think, Sean, it's over to you for our Bible reading.
Yes.
I'm going to have a go at getting rid of those closed captions or while you're reading that, because they were saying some amusing things.
Yes, okay. Okay, yeah, no, I'm going to be reading from the new NIV version of the Bible, and it's from Acts 1, verses 1 to 11, and the title of the chapter is Jesus Taken Up into Heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
Thanks, Sean. A well-known reading to many of us over the last few weeks. We might have heard that a couple of times, but we're going to hear Tim share some thoughts on it now. And I'd encourage you to have Acts 1 to 11 open in front of you in a paper Bible if you've got one, or maybe on your phone if not. And anything that Tim says that particularly strikes you tonight, why not jot it down or make a note of it, and we'll be able to talk about it later. I've tried to play around with the settings. Closed captions is off, so I've got no idea why they're showing. So if it is off-putting, why not look at your Bible and listen to what Tim says rather than get distracted by the captions. But we're going to mute ourselves and go off camera, but we're still going to be here, and we're going to see what Tim might be saying to us tonight.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Morning. So this morning we're continuing our focus on Jesus and that question of, do you know him? And how can we get to know Jesus better by considering the different aspects of his character and who he is? Over the last couple of weeks, we've thought...
I'm very sorry, everyone. I don't know why my screen won't let me share it. So let me try something a bit different. I've started him off. Let's see if we can hear Tim, if we can see Tim now.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Can you just double click on the actual video and see?
Good morning, everybody.
While it's on there, will that not blow it up?
This morning, we're continuing our focus on Jesus and the question of, do you know him? And how can we get to know Jesus better by considering the different aspects of his character and who he is? Over the last couple of weeks, we've thought about his death and his resurrection. And this week, we pick up the story with his ascension, his return to heaven, and what it means for us to experience Jesus as king. It's almost like it's planned, because it's ascension tide, and we're thinking about Jesus going to heaven at ascension and being enthroned in heaven. And also, as well as do you know him, we've got Thy Kingdom Come going on at the moment, this kind of national, international prayer initiative where we're praying for God's kingdom to break out across our communities and across the world. And what better thing to think about if we're praying Thy Kingdom Come than who is the king of this kingdom? That makes sense. So it's all like it comes together. It's like a plan or something. Now, I wonder what you think of when you hear the word the king. Maybe you're an Elvis Presley fan. Maybe you think of Henry VIII and the latest Philippa Gregory novel. Or maybe you're on the Game of Thrones, Robert Baratheon. Yeah? Anybody Game of Thrones? Nobody in the building, maybe at home. Anyway, one of the problems I think with this whole idea of kings is that they feel a long way away. World of entertainment, of history, and of fantasy. Our own monarch with government by democracy, history, and a fantasy. Our own monarch, someone who perhaps we could relate to on a more human level, particularly recently, still actually, I think, feels quite a long way away from most people's lives. But more than that, this idea of kings and queens and monarchy itself is a contested one. You see, the monarch doesn't actually govern in this country. We've replaced the system of government by monarchy with government by democracy. And most people, I think that's progress. And when we look around the world and see the repression and injustice in countries which are largely ruled by monarchies and have absolute monarchs, when we read the history of what most of the absolute monarchs did in this country, it's difficult to argue with the assessment that human monarchs haven't actually turned out to be such a good idea. So, in the culture we live in, we've replaced kings with elected governments and relegated them to the worlds of entertainment, history, and fantasy. So where does that leave us when we think about the kingdom of God and about Jesus being king? How do we avoid, perhaps subconsciously, thinking of Jesus as subject to voter approval or as entertainment, irrelevant history, or fantasy? What does it mean to know Jesus as our sovereign today? What difference does it make to our lives? Well, firstly, let's have a look at the idea of monarchy and of kingdom. Just kind of going back a bit, in English history, the idea of the divine right of kings, the idea that the monarch, the king, was divinely chosen by God and couldn't be challenged, that was used to justify a whole load of unholy and unrighteous and wrong behaviour. I don't know about you, but I get a little bit twitchy when someone claims to have been chosen by God to govern and uses that claim to ride roughshod over any opposition. It's why we have democracy. But the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's a kingdom. An absolute monarchy. You see, the claim of the Bible is that Jesus is the chosen sovereign king who has the right and authority to rule over creation and to govern it. About a month ago now, we looked at the idea of Jesus as the Word, creating the universe and all that's in it. Gabriel read to us from Psalm 93, which describes the majesty of God. And as we talked to us a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is God. So anything we find in the Bible which describes God is describing Jesus. So Psalm 93 describes Jesus. And in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, we read this. We read that following his return to heaven, Jesus took his place there, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. He is the King of kings, the ruler of rulers, prince of princes, the absolute monarch. Jesus is the rightful king because he created all that there is to be created. Because in his divine nature, he is majestic and because he has been chosen, anointed, and placed on the throne by Father God. We don't get a vote on whether Jesus is king. We only get a vote on whether we're willing to acknowledge his sovereignty over our lives and decide whether we want to live in his kingdom. His kingdom is, I believe, the best place to live. It's a place of love and joy and peace and life. Who wouldn't want to live here? Who wouldn't want to live here? Jesus is king. But Jesus is not king because he entertains us. Because Jesus is king, he is worthy of our worship. Jesus is not king because he entertains us, but because Jesus is king, he is worthy of our worship. We've seen that over the last couple of weeks. Jesus died on the cross, and the Roman centurion exclaims, "Surely this man is the Son of God." That's worship. Jesus is raised from the dead, proving that he is the king over life and death. And what is the first thing that the women who meet him do? They fall at his feet and worship him. In today's reading, Jesus ascends to heaven to take his place on the throne. And what did Nigel read for us? Then they worshipped him. Jesus' kingship, his majesty, calls out our worship. My observation is that human beings have a horrible habit of getting worship and entertainment in a terrible tangle in a couple of ways. Firstly, it seems to me we have a tendency to worship those who entertain us. Singers, film stars, sports people, we call them celebrities, don't we? We worship them until they stop entertaining us or they fall from grace. And then we have a habit of turning on them, refusing to see their flaws, perhaps, because they're so important to us. That's one way that we can get that in a tangle. And it's about us trying to put people or things on the throne that rightfully belongs to Jesus. There can only be one person on the throne of our lives. And the second thing is we can fall into the temptation of judging worship on whether or not we have been entertained. Did the music happen to fit our personal preference? Was it quiet or loud? Was it well presented? How did it leave me feeling? Oh, it was good worship today. I've said that. What did I mean? It seems to me the true measure of worship, whether when we're gathered on a Sunday, whether we're joining in online, or whether at work on a Tuesday morning, is whether or not it reflects and expresses our devotion to our King. To the King who commands us to love God and to love each other. Jesus is not king because he entertains us, but because Jesus is king, he is worthy of all our worship. Now, Jesus never sat on a throne on earth, and in that sense, he never was a historical king, not like, I know, King David from the Bible or like Henry VIII, like I mentioned earlier. He's not a historical king, but he is the king of history. He's not a historical king, but he is the king of history. And that includes today. Jesus is king today. He is in heaven's throne room right now. Now, that's where he went on that ascension day. And what's he doing there? Well, in his letter to the Christians in Rome, Paul writes this: Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. King Jesus is in heaven now, speaking on our behalf. And even more than that, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is here and with us now. We read this morning, Nigel read for us, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, power from on high." Now, David and Caroline at the back there will be glad to know that I'm not planning to steal the All In team's thunder from next week. Next week is Pentecost. We're going to be thinking about this a bit more then. But I do want us to take note this week that this is an expression of Jesus' sovereignty. He is the King who sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not a historical king, but he is a king of all history, including today. And Jesus is not a fantasy king. He is a real king. In John's account of one of Jesus' resurrection appearances, we see, I think, a couple of things that contrast with a Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings style king. Bit of a setup. The disciples had gone fishing. They'd gone back to what they knew. They'd gone fishing. And as we always know in the Bible, when disciples go fishing, they never catch anything. They'd been fishing all night. I hadn't caught a thing. Then comes a call from a man on the bank. Try the other side of the boat. And bingo. So many fish, they can't pull the net in. And the penny drops. It's Jesus. So they get back to the beach as quick as they can. Peter's in such a hurry that he just jumps in and swims, can't be bothered to wait for the boats. And on the beach, what do they find? They find Jesus with a fire, with some fish already cooking. That's one of my favourite bits of that story. Jesus did not need the fish. He already had fish. But he's just so generous and abundant that he just wanted to give more fish to his friends. He didn't need them. He already had them. They were cooking. Anyway, diversion. Anyway, Jesus serves up breakfast and eats with his friends. This is not a fantasy king. This is a real king with a human body who eats and enjoys an early morning beach barbecue. And more than this, this is a servant king who cooks breakfast. No ambition or court politics here. No paranoia about the safety of his crown. Jesus is entirely secure in who he is. And from that security comes a humility, an authenticity, a willingness to serve. He is king of a kingdom with different values. What do we read in Luke? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Jesus isn't a fantasy king. He's a real king who serves those he rules and whose kingdom is one of forgiveness. He's not a fantasy king. He's a real king who serves those he rules and whose kingdom is a kingdom of forgiveness. Who wouldn't want to live there? So, a bit of a roundup. I think we have to be honest. The idea of Jesus as king, I believe, is a troublesome one for us. Earthly kings have not been, in general, good news for the places that they've ruled. We might not always feel that our elected government is great, but as I believe Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government except all the others. And as well as that, we have to overcome our cultural tendencies to see a king as entertainment, history, or fantasy. But it seems to me that actually, as we do this work, as we clear away the baggage, the things that get in the way of us seeing Jesus the king clearly, as we do that, as we see Jesus as king today, we're rewarded with the most astounding realization. Jesus is a good king. Jesus is a good king who delivers where all other kings fail. A king who is real and active and who loves us and serves us and who intercedes for us. It's a king we can trust. He's a king whose kingdom is beautiful and glorious. He's a king we can't help but worship, witness to, and work for. Jesus is King. Do you know him?
I wonder if you can see me now. Sorry about the absolute chaos to begin with, but we got there, didn't we?
At
the
end, well done.
Could see him and we could hear him. If you missed the beginning because of the glitches, why not go back and listen to it again? It was fab. I wonder, let's begin maybe by just saying what jumped out at you from what Tim said. I think there was so much there, but what kind of jumped out at you maybe and hit you between the eyes?
Yeah, there was so much. And do join in on the screen, on the stream with that as well, about what struck you in the talk. For me, I think I hadn't really thought very much before about how the word king can be quite problematic to us. But, you know, when Tim started talking about it, it really did hit me between the eyes that the kings that we see in history and in stories tend to not be very good kings. They tend to be quite oppressive. And just thinking about King George in Hamilton, you know, he was abusive. He was trying to grab the land for himself. He was, you know, everything that the opposite of what you think of as a good king. And so the word king can be probably quite a difficult one, really, for us in our society. But I was thinking when Tim was talking, it's how you define what a kingdom is and what God's kingdom is. And that stands in such contrast to what we see, the kingdoms of this earth, or the kingdoms of those sort of story kings. And it, you know, that is a kingdom where there is freedom, and where, you know, the weak are honoured, and where the oppressed are set free, and where injustice is challenged, and all of that. And that's the king of that kind of kingdom is a king that we can love, because he is a servant king. He's not a dictator. Mm-hmm. So it's just a different way of looking at the word and thinking what a king should be. Yeah.
I think that's really good, Liz, because in this country, I know we've got a monarchy, but the government are in charge. And so we don't really know what it is to have a king or a monarch or a king in charge, do we? You might read about it in history books, and it's always a bit cartoony, like, yeah, King George in Hamilton is a bit funny, he's cartoony. But actually, in real life, he wasn't. And most kings, many kings were, didn't have the right interests at heart, did they?
No.
What about you, Sean? Did anything particularly strike you from what Tim was saying?
Yeah, I think what Tim was saying, how we've created our own, you know, how we want kings to be, rather than actually following the example of Jesus. It's all about, almost a material type of worship, rather than actually seeing them for who they are and what they do, and understanding what that king's motives are. Obviously, if you read the Bible, there are some kings that were just, which is really good. Generally, as Liz says, most of the kings we know of were always dictators, or not about justice or caring or being kind or thinking about the ordinary person. It was all about, you know, status, power, grabbing land, as you said, with Hamilton. So but it's great that we know that we have Jesus, and he loves us, and he's not about being powerful. He's about loving us and caring for us and wanting the best for us, and that's really what it's about for me, anyway.
Interesting what you said about worship, because that's something that I wrote down. I really liked it I liked it as a challenge when Tim said that we can get worship and entertainment muddled.
Yeah.
And I've done that. You know, yeah. Would I personally choose to go to a cathedral style worship service, or would I go to a more informal contemporary Ignite style gathering? Well, I think most of you listening who know me would know which one I choose. I'm not going to say, but it's pretty obvious which one I choose. And then you think, well, why? And in many ways, if worship is sacrifice, surely to truly worship, the challenges go to the other one.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I thought that
really spoke to me as well. I think I've really sort of thought that through in the past, because God really spoke to me about that quite clearly when we were at our Curacy church, and it was a bit more of a traditional church, and we were singing hymns with the organ and stuff, and I wasn't really singing them from a very worshipful kind of spirit. It was a bit kind of I want it to be a bit livelier, but God sort of said to me, well look at these words, do you actually mean these words, or are you just singing them, you know, in that kind of slightly I don't know, bitter spirit? And that really spoke to me about what worship is, you know. It's not what I want or what makes me happier, but it's about what my heart is doing and how I'm responding to God in that moment. And you know, and since then that's really sort of changed my attitude, I guess, about what I want to do and what worship is.
I've got a couple of comments here I should read out, because there's quite a few. So I've got Emily here has commented. She says, yes, I think my idea of an earthly king has definitely causes me to struggle with Christ as a king. I guess because I feel so let down by them. God is so much more. He feels above kingship as we know it. Ali says, I like what Tim said about worship. It's being about him, not us. And then Tim says, something that struck me from the reading is that Jesus was blessing the disciples as he went. Reminds you of those final waves to family as they go. He's still waving as he goes out of sight.
Yeah, well, that's nice, isn't it? I like
that. Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'm reminded a bit of, if Kimberly's watching, she'll remember this, but me and Kimberly got married in a very traditional church. And we used to go there on a Sunday morning, because we were getting married and we wanted to be part of the community. So we went there on a Sunday morning and then went to the Vineyard Church in the afternoon, or the late afternoon. And it was, I'd never met the Anglican Church then, so I thought it was ridiculously high. It was actually just me in the robe, but in my head it was high. So, you know, the vicar's there in his robes and they had a small choir. And I remember us going one morning and I was really pants in my pants about it, and I was really like, why are we going here? God never shows up, you know, blah blah blah. And me and Kimberly were stood there and we started singing one of the hymns, and the power of the Lord just fell on us both, and we were shaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. We were weeping, we could barely stand up, we just felt the heaviness of God. And lots of people were looking at us like, what are they doing? Because I don't know if that happened that often. We got some funny looks. But I almost felt that was the king. That was Jesus reminding me. I'm the king in every single kind of church and in every single kind of tradition. And actually, it, like you said, Liz, worship isn't about you, it's about me. And get your priorities right.
Yeah.
He said it in a very loving way, but also a bit of a, come on, David. Sort it out kind of way. He is the king.
Yeah. And I also love what Tim was saying about him being a generous king and an abundant king, and wanting to bless his children. You know, he's not one of these kings that's just all about power and himself and keeping himself, but he wants to give good things. And at the heart of that is the fact that Jesus is a self-sacrificial king, and that he came to give his life. And that is at the heart of his kingship, which is speaks volumes to me of who he is and what he's done.
Definitely.
I mean, what other king? I can't think of any other king that serves his people with such self-sacrifice.
There isn't one, is there?
You know, he had ultimate power, ultimate authority, and yet he gave everything up, didn't he?
Even rode in on a donkey. I mean you won't get a king doing that, will you? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So before we have a little song about kind of surrendering to the king, what could we take away from this? How, maybe a question for those on the stream as well. How will this, I mean, it's very interesting to talk about it. It's good to be challenged, but what impact will it have? And maybe I'll throw one out there while some of us are thinking, because I think for me it goes along with worship. And sometimes I can be that person that says, oh, worship was good today. Or I can say, oh, worship songs were a bit, you know, they were a bit old, or a bit, you know, all the traditional hymn. And actually, I need to get my priorities right, don't I? Because it's not about me. I mean, we've all got our style that, you know, we feel more at home in. I think that's okay. But we, if we're children of the King, we should be able to worship him, whatever style it is, because it's not about us. It's about him. So that's my takeaway challenge.
Yeah.
Anyone else in the comments or on the stream, Liz?
Yeah, it's good if we're, you know, if we're talking with children about this kind of thing, maybe from that point of view of thinking about the kings that they've seen in cartoons and things like that, and talking about the good bits and bad bits of those kings, and what makes them good and what doesn't make them good, and then just really highlighting that everything about Jesus is good, and that,
yeah,
you know, he encapsulates, you know, all the good things. You can talk about Mufasa being good because he gave his life for Simba, but that Jesus was so much more for all of us. So
definitely.
Cool. We've got any comments in the stream, Sean? Anyone?
No, unfortunately not at the moment.
That's okay. Well, it is a bit of a big question just to throw out there, but it's always a good one to think about, isn't it? To think, how will our walk with Jesus be different or unchallenged when we continue? And we're going to do continue in the comments. If you've got something you want to say, I know we're a few moments behind, so do that. We're going to worship now. We've got a song called I Surrender All. And I chose this one because it's, you know, Jesus is the King and he is worthy of it all. And so we're going to sing this. And after this, we're going to have a time of prayer. So let's pray that this song actually works. I think I know what I did last time wrong. So let's find out, shall we? And we're going to mute ourselves. Oh.
Jesus, I surrender.
Okay, everyone, we're going to pray using the PRAY model again tonight, the pause, rejoice, ask and yield. And do join in on the comment stream. Please do share any prayers or any prayer requests as well as we pray together. And us three will pray together here on the stream. So just to pause for a moment, I'm going to read a little bit of Psalm 93. The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. So just take a few seconds just to be still in God's presence. And let's just share some reflections and rejoicing together, perhaps thinking particularly about what we've talked about tonight in Jesus's kingship. Maybe just some little sentences of thanks. So Lord, I want to thank you that you are the sovereign king, but that you are the humble king, the servant king, the king who loves us and gave yourself for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that you are the good King, your good King. You love us. And you're above all and in all. And you're so worthy, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, that you are sovereign, that you are someone that we can look up to because you are love and you think about us all of the time, and you're not just in some lofty place where nothing else matters but you, but you are thinking of us all of the time, your friends, that you call us friend and brother. How amazing is that, that you, King Jesus, should call us friend.
Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is one of justice and mercy, and it's one where the outcast is welcome and where the oppressed is set free. Thank you that your kingdom isn't like the kingdoms of this earth, but it's the kingdom where we can find freedom and perfect love. Just a couple from the stream here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here tonight. And thank you, Lord, that you reign over our lives. And thank you, Lord, that you are a king who protects and provides for us and gives generously. So let's move on to asking. Let's pray together and share prayer requests together. Of the things that we want to ask Jesus about tonight and to lay at his feet, our servant King. Lord, I want to lift up this Do You Know Him initiative in Telford. And I pray, Lord, that that as churches share more about you, that people in the communities will want to know more about who you are. And we'll ask questions, and I pray that you give us in churches, all of us, a real passion to share you and who you are and how you set people free and how you love them. So we bring that before you, Lord, and we pray that you would bless this initiative and bring people closer to you through it.
Amen.
Lord, I want to pray for those who are under the reins of of kings or queens who are not good, who are under government or regime maybe that are evil. Lord, have mercy. That you bring peace and justice, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus, I want to thank you for Saturday. Saturday just gone, the training from Chris Duffett on evangelism and being able to share our faith with others. Thank you for the fact that we were able to go out into Telford Town Centre and talk with people openly and freely about how much you love them and how much you care and how much you want to just get to know them, Lord. Just thank you for that opportunity and just thank you for that day. And I just pray that those conversations that we had would come to something, Lord, that they would be stirring up something in those people that we spoke to. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, we pray that we will see your kingdom come across this world. We pray that we will see your kingdom principles at work, and pray for those areas of the world who are struggling and in conflict. We pray for the conflict in Israel and Palestine, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would inspire leaders to justice and reconciliation, and just loving one another as neighbours, Lord. And we just lift those up to you. Amen.
Amen.
And a prayer from the stream from Emmy. Draw those who need to hear your word to them. Use the town of Telford to spread your good news. And Father, I just want to lift up all of those who are struggling just after this whole year of lockdown, and who are still fearful and worried about the future and what's happening next. And I pray particularly, Lord, for those who've struggled with mental health and physical health through this time. Lord, I really pray for healing. And I pray that people will really encounter you and encounter your love, and come to know that joy and that peace in you, and that peace in surrendering to you, Lord, as King. And then finally, we just say yes, we yield. I'm just going to read Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So, Lord, we say yes to you tonight. We lift up our heads to you. And we ask that you come in, the King of glory, into our lives and reign in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Liz. Wow. Thanks so much for joining us. We're coming to an end of our time together tonight. I don't know if you've got any other comments on the stream you want to throw up, Sean?
Not really. We've had a few prayers. Charlotte says amen. Amen. And that's it, really.
Great. Well, thanks so much. We've had a lot. We've kind of packed quite a lot into the hour. Apology that it wasn't as smooth as when Tim does it. We'll get there. I had cracked it for the last song, but I clearly hadn't. You saw my notes that Tim sent me that clearly I didn't know how to follow. But we got there. And it's really good, isn't it, to be with each other and to pray and to look at scripture and to feel what God might say to us. If you want to watch again, we'll be uploading this to the podcast stream. It'll be on YouTube. And we'll be here again next Wednesday, I believe, talking about on the next thing in the Do You Know Him series. We'll be on tomorrow night for the APCM.
Woohoo!
Church members, I'll be chairing that. So hopefully it'll go a bit smoother than tonight. But if not, hey, it'll be a bit of a laugh.
And then on Sunday night, on Sunday morning, we've got All In. So we'd love to see you there. We're going to be looking at Pentecost. So it's going to be for all ages and stages. You can come in person. You'll need to ring up tomorrow to book or email us. But it will also be live streamed on Facebook. It would be fab to see you if you can tune in. I think that's everything. Tim does this funny thing where he says good night, say goodbye, Liz, and you say goodbye, Liz. But I can't pull it off with his panache. So why don't we all just say goodbye?
Goodbye. Nice to see you.
Goodbye.
I'm working out how to end it now. I think if I just click end, oh, I found a little button to press. I think I know what to do. We'll find out, won't we? See you later, everyone. Bless you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
There we go. It stopped. It stopped recording. It stopped being live.